on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter?
Oh, I hear it, I hear it.
And that happy tune is your step.
What is that at my feet, I wonder?
Life can be so sweet.
Oh, I'm sorry, life can be so sweet.
On sunny.
I was thinking of gold
side of the street. I used to.
Gold dust.
In the shade.
What's on parade?
With those blues on parade.
Are you afraid?
But I'm not afraid.
Yes, no.
This rover.
I like to think of Jesus like with giant eagle's wings,
yeah,
and singing lead vocals for Lynyrd Skynyrd with like an angel band. And I'm in the front row and I'm hammered drunk.
What is that?
That's from Talladega Nights.
Yeah, Ricky Bobby.
I never saw Talladega Nights.
You should watch it.
Really?
It is a great movie.
Oh,
is it? Yeah, it's one of Will Ferrell's best movies.
Right? Yeah.
Well, I liked Anchorman. All right.
That was very
good. It's better than Anchorman.
Like,
is it?
Yeah, it's way better than Anchorman.
That was John C. Reilly, right?
Yeah.
I got that, you know, and as a kid who grew up in the South, and I spent the first 15 years of my life in the South, there's something funny about guys with a Southern accent. It's like if you want to make a guy, if you want to portray him as kind of stupid, give him a Southern accent. I'm not insulting Southern people. I was born in Tennessee, and I lived there for 15 years, but I'm serious. I laugh out loud when I hear any time anybody tries to, you know, with a Southern accent. It's just, I don't know. I think they maybe get a bad rap because so many bits have been done where the dumb guy is some Southern, you know, beer drinking
yokel.
Yeah, yokel, a good one. But it's just, especially John C. Reilly, you know, that guy, I'm going to tell you something, he's funny in anything he does. He's funny, serious or comedy. And I used to have but I didn't have, there's pretty Southern accents, like pleasant ones, and then there's like irritating, grating Southern accents. Mine was the irritating, grating kind, because mine was nasal, and it was like this. And it's not that Colonel Angus, you know. It's not that.
What a great skit!
That kind that makes women swoon. Honey, why don't you come over to the ranch tonight and enjoy a good old barbecue? All the boys will be there. We'd love to have you. If I issued the invitation, why don't you come over for barbecue tonight? You know, not the same.
Now we're busy.
It's the same thing with British, the same way. British accents. So there are British guys that sound to me like, you know, I don't want to hear your. And then others have like a sophisticated kind of British thing.
Like me.
They had some guy on the. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's exactly what I was thinking. Like you.
They had some guy on the news last night over in England after the baby was born, and all these people are outside the hospital. And this guy, they interviewed him, and you could not understand a word he was saying.
Yeah. Those people. And then others, you can pretty much understand everything they say. Let me welcome people. And then we need to discuss this this baby thing in England. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. It's April 24th. We're glad to have you with us. Quickly, the people in the room, because I don't introduce them, haven't been for years until the Playhouse, and maybe that's a little too late for people who are already where they're going to be by then and don't get to hear it. So I'd like to tell you who's in the room. With the control board direct from England to the United, well, it's the United States, England, and back to the United States. It's the one and only Trevor Limey, Phillips Limey. Say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone.
In the quarantine box, it's none other than Dan Strauss. Dan, say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
And the man who started off with us in October, October 2nd, to be exact. I don't remember a lot of things, but I remember that start date. And they said, how'd you like to have Tim Woodburn do the news? And I said, who? And they said, Tim Woodburn. I said, point him out to me. And they pointed to him. And I go, no, I don't want that guy. And then they talked to me a little bit. And they said, no, give him a chance. Listen to him. So I did. I gave him a chance. I listened to a newscast. And I said, no, I don't want that guy. And then they said, well, give him like two newscasts or like three. Give him three newscasts. Just listen to three. So I listened to three. And they said, what do you think? I said, I don't want it.
Have you made a decision yet?
No, I still have not made a decision. I don't want to jump the gun. I want to give him plenty of time. So here, still auditioning. Look at him. He's not really smiling. Yeah, here he is, the one and only. And again, remember our billboard that we still don't have up yet, but I'm pushing for it. It just says, Tim Woodburn. You either hate him or you can't stand him. Tim, say hi to everybody.
Thank you very much, Frank. And on your cue with your two different Tennessee dialects in which you gave like a rich Tennessee and a poor Tennessee, I'm gonna say hi in a rich way and a poor way, okay?
Hello, okay, great.
Hello to everyone out there. And then my poor way is, what's up, y'all?
Well, that's not even southern. That's more like
that was a North St. Louis.
Right. Well, yeah.
That's black urban Ebonics, whatever.
Right.
But that's a great way to put it. Wealthy Southern and poor Southern.
Right.
That's a really good, because for some reason the wealthy Southern, you know, the Texas oil man, they don't ever talk like that. So, Margaret, could you bring us some more iced tea? This gentleman here is still a little bit thirsty. Before we close this deal on these oil rigs, we'd love some lemonade and iced tea. Thank you, sweetie.
You cracked me up.
That's the wealthy.
You cracked me up when you talk in that voice. When you were talking that voice to begin the show off, I could not help but harken back to my days of watching Bugs Bunny when I was a kid. And you remind me of that plantation owner that goes, "Oh, Belvedere, come here, boy.
Yeah.
Where's my hustling fella?
Come here, boy."
Yeah.
But it's true. It's true. The wealthy, maybe wealthy families send their Southern kids to a how to not talk like a hick school. And they have the accent, but it's not that. Boy, that's a good one. Poor. I'm putting a gold star by your name.
Thank
in
you.
The personnel
good.
File.
My first gold star good. Since October 2nd.
It is. Wealthy Southern and poor Southern.
That's we were awesome. Watching some Bugs Bunny over the weekend. Bugs Bunny cartoons.
That's
with,
a great story.
Oh, thanks.
Great story.
No, I'm not finished.
Oh, sorry.
And they're hysterical, but extremely violent. When you go back,
sure. Oh yeah.
When you go back
what's
and watch,
what's more violent than handing, like Roadrunner, handing a guy a bomb?
I know.
With a fuse lit.
Well, and then violent. Elmer Fudd is shooting all the ducks, and then Daffy Duck comes down and then starts smacking Elmer around. And
what about when he shoots Daffy in the face and his beak goes around the back
I
of
know.
His head?
Yeah. I'm sitting there watching it. It's like these cartoons would never fly today. Never.
No way. No
oh,
way.
You're right. I think you're right. No, it's got to be Teletubbies.
Well, there's stutters. What's the last cartoon that was issued in which somebody stuttered? Because there was a stutter in Fat Albert. There was a stutter in Porky Pig. I mean, it would be so politically incorrect to launch any kind of children's programming today in which somebody
the
stuttered.
The last stuttering cartoon characters were Elmer Fudd and that Quick Draw McGraw, I think.
Quick Draw McGraw? Oh,
yeah.
That was... Oh, what was his sidekick's name? Quick Draw McGraw. It was that little mouse or whatever the heck he was.
Well, Dan, what was the name of the guy?
I don't think I've ever watched.
What
that
was the name of the guy that wore the hat over half his face on Fat Albert? The dibby dibby talking like the distant.
Oh, that was that was Mushmouth.
Oh my
Mushmouth.
God!
Yeah, he talked
about. Oh
like,
yeah, his yeah. Oh, that's
hey, me Fabby Albert, what you doing?
Oh, that's it.
Yeah,
that's it. Oh, we left out ignorant. Drop out of school, Southern accent.
Ooh, that's another one.
So we got poor and we got rich, but we didn't get this guy. This is the guy now they're interviewing because he saw a UFO with his buddy while they're out fishing. Not necessarily poor, not rich, just flat out, just stupid. And that's this guy. We got down here about 5:30, I guess it was. It was before sundown. And I told my friend, I said, "Hey, what the hell is that up in the air?" He said, "Probably airplane." I said, "No, it ain't no airplane. That looks like somebody, a UFO or something." And we got out a flashlight. We had a real bright one in mag lights. Pretty bright. We shined it up there on it, trying to get its attention. It circled around a couple of times. Next thing you know, he's gone. He's gone out of here. That's a UFO. I'm telling you right now, it's a UFO.
They touched me. Kind of, they touched me up there, and they probed me.
They cut me, and they probed my anus with an anal probe. And I said, what the hell? Oh, you got to do a lot of bad grammar for the redneck dropout of school guy. When they stuck that thing in me, I said, what in the hell are you doing? Probing me. And they said, that's what we do, we aliens. And I said, well, you better pull that thing out right now, or I'm going to open up a can of whoop-ass on you, you damn aliens.
Yeah.
Where are you planning?
Southern.
Yeah, where are you planning on putting that at?
And
did you hear him end the sentence? Well, did you see what word he ended the sentence with, Frank, and you didn't jump him?
No, I did that on purpose.
He was doing an impression.
Oh,
he was doing an impression of a guy who didn't know good grammar. Now, this is for anybody who never saw the Saturday Night Live Colonel Angus. Was that Christopher Walken?
Yes.
That's the funniest thing, except my wife didn't get it. I'm sitting there laughing. She goes, well, I don't get it. What's so funny about a colonel? I said, it's Colonel Angus. She said, who's that? I promise you, probably a third of the people that saw it, it didn't click. They just... they didn't get it. So if you want to go back, you can YouTube it. Colonel Angus, Saturday Night Live. Now, this is what we call the Burke segment. And it goes like this. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do not have anything.
Right. We don't have to close it because we're not going to open it. Now, what we are going to do is we're going to open up the phone lines here. And when Dr. Doug wasn't with us a couple of weeks ago, we did something. It turned out to be pretty good. And it was just, let's just open the phones and, talk to us. Tell us something we didn't know. Ask us something that you want to know that we might know. And whatever. We don't care. So here are the numbers. And I hope you'll find a way to hang on to them and keep them for future reference. 314-821-0590. You see, this is 590, so, 0590. All you really have to remember is 821 and a zero. Because 314 has been a St. Louis area code forever, and if you get 821 and a zero, the 590 should be easy. So 314-821-0590. And then you have 855-282-TALK, which I think is not as difficult as it might seem, because it's 855-282-8255, like that Cars for Kids. Yeah, Cars for Kids. 855-282-8255. That's it. Or 855-282-TALK. So you call us, and we will have Dan will put your name on the screen, and we'll talk. And I see calls are already coming in. Now, feel free to call and say, boy, I would sure like to sit at that table you got for your show on that trivia night, May 19th for Window World, because I think St. Jude Children's Hospital is a great place. Here's my $2,500 to buy a seat for me and the person I'm going to bring. That would be fantastic if you want to do that. Or if you want to call and say, here's a big fat check. We want to go to dinner, Frank, with you and your wife. I'll take that, too. And then, of course, there's the other way to do this, and that is just write a check for at least $100 to Window World Cares. That's the charitable arm. And the place to send it, the address, is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/AMandThePM. And when you do that, every $100, let's say your check is $300, that's three entries into a drawing. And when we draw, one winner will get to bring a guest to sit at our table at Trivia Night. Another winner will go to dinner with me, my wife, and Annie Gunn. You get the idea? So it'll be more than one drawing. So we need some help on this. I know it's the 19th of May, and it's a little over 3 weeks away, but I don't like being nervous. You're making me nervous. Oh, we got calls coming in. One more time for the phone numbers, just for the people who didn't catch them. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK. I'd love to talk to Dave. Dave, how are you?
Brother Frank, how are you doing?
Good, Dave. What's going on?
I'm PM in the AM, as always.
Close enough. Why do I hear massive echo and feedback when I talk? I hear myself real loud coming back. Go ahead, Dave.
Is it your equipment there?
Yeah, it probably is. Brand new. That's wrong. What's wrong with it? Not broken in.
Is Tim Woodbum available by any chance?
Hang on, I'll get him for you. Hey, Tim, it's for you.
No, there's just, I don't know who this is, but there's a story.
This is Dave.
Behind this, where somebody gave me an engraved keychain one time as a gift, and I was presented with an award, and on the engraved keychain, it said Tim.
Good God, is he going into a story already?
It said Tim Woodbum.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know who you are, but this really happened to me.
Well, Dave is a guy who just said, I want to talk to Tim, and then you launch into this story.
I'm trying to help a brother out, Frank. Interrupt me one more time.
I will leave the show.
Dave, here's how we're going to handle it. Go ahead, Dave. Tim is listening. Go
Turn my mic off, Limey.
Okay. So, Tim, the full name, Dan must not have put it on the screen because he's the best producer in the world. Which is he? I forget.
The what?
It's Diamond Dave.
Oh, Diamond Dave.
You remember? Did you remember that?
He didn't. I'm looking at the screen. It just says Dave. He didn't remember that.
I know.
Sorry.
What's your question for Tim? What you got for Tim?
Okay, number one. Remember, I called a couple weeks ago. I would like to a correction and apologize for being incorrect. Whenever Tim, remember, I said Tim said the Muhammad Ali place in Louisville was in the ghetto, right?
Oh yeah,
right.
Okay.
He said, no, I was talking about Churchill Downs. And I was in the car, and I went back, and I listened on the computer to the podcast. And he did say that. He did mention that in the space between Bill Cleveland talking. And so I didn't realize he had changed the place, but he did say that, so that was my fault.
Whoa. Like a man. This is typical of our listeners, people who are willing to admit they misheard. And, Tim, do you accept Diamond Dave's apology?
I do. He was really mad at me when he sent me an email about doing that.
Oh, I remember.
Well,
but now he's apologizing.
Really mad in text. I mean, that doesn't create, doesn't have any tone in it. So
it's all good.
Well, Dave, you can if the text says, hey, you blanking, sea-sucking, you know, that kind of tells you somebody's really... No, but I'm saying you can tell in some texts that somebody's mad. He accepts your apology.
I thought you really were somebody maybe I'd known in the past, and you knew the Tim Woodbum story, where I got that keychain that was engraved with Tim Woodbum on it, which I still have. I thought maybe you knew that.
No, I just made that up on the spot.
Good.
I didn't realize.
Good.
Okay. Secondly, Tim commented a couple weeks ago about he saw people in the stands at the Cardinal game saying we're Fairweather fans, and I called in to say, well... That doesn't really mean anything, and he said, well, the Cleveland Browns, they don't have a good team, and they sell out every year. Do you remember saying that?
I said I remember they don't have any problem selling out games, is what I said. I said they didn't win a game last year, and I know they sold out several games.
That they are 29th in the league in attendance, and they are one of the worst over the last 10 years. Because the team is terrible, they they are 29th in the league in attendance, as far as capacity from, as far as their stadium goes.
So they don't sell.
What I'm saying is Tim was wrong in his example. That's
Whoa.
What I'm
so there's, idiot. Wait, there's 32 teams, Diamond Dave, and who is the absolute last in attendance? Do you know?
Okay, I don't have that in front of me, but Tim was just quoting things, and in the call I said, it sounds like you're just pulling numbers out of thin air, which, of course, he was. That's what I wanted to call about. So does Tim have anything to say about this?
Tim, your response.
My response is the Cleveland Browns in 2017, as a winless football team, averaged over 62,000 fans per game, which average percent of capacity was 85%. And their attendance did dip last year. So technically, I would say that you're more right than I am. I don't think I'm wrong, but you're more right than I am.
This is a good compromise. You're more right than wrong, Diamond Dave.
Hey, Trevor, I was going to ask, Limey, check the box and see if there's count. What is it? Point, counterpoint. And see if there's something in there.
Dave already.
Oh, that's a good
idea. I'll also say, Dave, that one of their home games last year, attendance wise, occurred in London. So that doesn't accurately reflect the entire 8-game home season. It only counts. They're counting that London game in that stat that you rattled off.
Well, like I said, you were saying the St. Louis fans are fair weather, and I because the team's not doing well. Of course, they're doing well now, and I thought that was incorrect. And you mentioned Cleveland, but it's not just last year. They're 29. They're in the 20s over the last 5 or 6 years as far as attendance versus the rest of the teams in the league.
I think I speak for all of us when I say we welcome criticism and being told when we're wrong, except for me.
the rest of the people. You can feel free to. No, we do. We do. And if we say something that's not accurate, we need to know. So I think everything's good here.
Okay, can I end this on a good note then, very quickly?
Sure, sure.
I visited a couple of your sponsors, and well, one in particular, and I'll give you a hint. It requires scanning on a scale.
Oh, I know. Yeah, MD Health and Wellness.
It was actually Johnny Londoff, and that's a weird way to have Johnny have people buy cars. I just want you to tell him
stand
you
on know, a scale.
He charges them by the pound.
Yeah. That I guess that would almost be funny, Dave, if it were true, but he didn't have you stand on a scale, I don't think. So I don't know that I got the yeah. Well, no. You're a listener though, so it is funny. Whatever you want to do. I'm sorry?
It was actually MD Health and Wellness. I just thought
so it was
MD Window World though too.
You see how tough comedy is? Comedy is tough. It's very, very tough.
From Limey.
Yeah, drum roll.
Bet you did.
Dave, Diamond Dave, call anytime, okay?
Thanks a lot. See you guys.
All right, thank you. There he goes, Diamond Dave. Obviously a loyal listener and an attentive listener. He doesn't miss anything.
I received this text from Brian McKenna, and I think he
Who's
might
that?
Know. Brian McKenna.
Who's,
Brian
never
McKenna.
Heard of him.
Never really? Heard of him. Never heard of Brian McKenna?
Hang on. Anybody here ever heard of Brian McKenna? Nobody knows.
He says, I'm a huge fan of Tim's. He's intelligent and witty as can
Tim
be.
Tim who?
Tim Woodburn.
Tim McKernan?
No, Tim Woodbum. Arbum. He says, I also like the kid from Liverpool.
Yeah.
That'd be you.
And he says,
I'm not sure
that the show has ever sounded better.
I agree. It's been a long time since it sounded better. It's the mixture of characters that makes the show. Let me talk to George. He's been very patient. George, how are you?
Good, AM and the PM.
Thank you. Probably should say welcome to 590 The Fan, just to make sure people know what they're listening to here, because we were at the other place for a long time.
And the reason I'm calling, Frank, I had no idea you guys were off of the other station. I came down with cancer right when you guys, I guess, went off the air. I thought you just retired until I came back to work 2 weeks ago and was flipping around, and a buddy of mine, guy talking, he said, yeah, Frank's on 590 now, and I was like, wow, man, that's awesome. So just to let you know, still listening, been a long listener for probably 20 plus years, and just to let you know, good to hear your guys' voice. I'm glad to be alive. And
can I talk to you about your cancer? What kind of cancer did you have?
I had non-small cell lung stage 4.
Whoa.
Wow. Smoker?
He was a smoker.
Yeah.
So
are you okay? Did they get it? Are you okay?
They got it. I had four spots in my brain, and then I had one on my liver as well. Quit drinking too. So
wow.
A whole life experience that make you look at life a little different. Mm.
And so how long was the treatment? How long did you have to undergo the treatment?
I'm still doing chemo every 3 weeks. I did 38 bouts of radiation and probably 100, or not 100, but I'd say probably 20-some chemos on the route.
What's the prognosis now? What do they tell you now?
Well, they say right now everything is gone. Everything is cleared up. I'm going back Friday for a PET scan, and then I go back another month for an MRI. And hopefully, if everything plays out and goes well, they still said they have to keep me on the chemo as a regimen for my blood work and all that stuff. So, but I'm feeling good. You know, the nurse is like, "Well, if you want to go back to work, you can go back to work." You know, on a limited schedule. I was like, "No, you talk to the doctor. I'm going back full time. I'm not, I can't sit."
Well, you. And you can do that because I'm guessing you don't have a job that's as tough as ours. It's just as hard on a person as ours is, as stressful as ours.
Oh, yeah,
This grind that we knock out. You probably got something real easy like house painting or something. What do you do for a living?
I'm a building engineer. We take care of building properties around St. Louis.
Yeah, that's so easy. That's easy work. Radio's hard. That's easy.
It is. It's very hard. I understand. Yeah. I just realized how tired you guys get sitting there when I was laying there for 6 months in the bed going, oh, my gosh, what the heck?
I know how those guys feel. Yeah. George, I can't tell you how thrilled I am that you're still with us. We don't need to lose any listeners, especially not to that stinking cancer. So keep kicking its ace, as Mike Evans would say, and thank you for sticking with us over 20 years. We really appreciate it.
No worries, Frank. You have a good day.
Call anytime. Check in occasionally. Just let us know you're still alive, okay?
I sure will.
Bye, George.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. And I'm not kidding.
Wow.
I'd like to know the guy's still around. Let me tell you something. We don't realize how lucky we are. And right now, there are people in the hospital, and many of them can't hear the show because there's mean hospitals. We've talked about this over the years. They don't like people listening to shows like this because it makes them feel better. They don't make any money when you feel better. You start laughing if that is the best medicine. Make sure we can't get 590 in here no matter what. Yeah, they don't want that. But I drive by hospitals, and every time I drive by a hospital, I think, I just wonder how many people are in there and how long they've been in there. And there are people who have been in there for weeks and even maybe months. And it's just, I don't know, you need to think about that stuff every once in a while. My wife doesn't think that way. I have a different way of looking at things. I do. I think of the dark side and the downside and the negative because it's the best way to appreciate the fact that you're not part of that. You don't have to go through that. And what George just went through and what thousands and thousands and thousands, millions of people go through.
Overcoming
radiation and chemo.
Stage 4 cancer. I mean, how rare is that?
That's
incredibly
big.
Rare.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the Grim Reaper, like, tapping you on the back.
That's the news you don't want to get. Stage 4, you know, that's, there's not a stage 5. Stage 5 is you're dead.
Well, that's what happened with,
that's stage 5.
That's what happened with Rick Puckett from Peroni's. He found out he had stage 4.
That's right. Get your affairs in order. And less than 2 months later, we lost him. Mm-hmm. Brian's been patient, too. He's been holding. Brian, welcome to 590. What can we do for you? Thank you.
Hey, going to the, you know, you guys were talking about the bathroom stuff yesterday about people not washing their hands, you know.
Right.
Yeah, well, I used to work for, like, a Fortune 100 company in the St. Louis area, and, like, I had to go to a service dinner, and the CEO came out of a bathroom stall, and I'm not joking, he didn't wash his hands, and then they had this award ceremony. So, like, all the people that won awards, including myself, we had to get up and, like, go shake the guy's hand on stage.
Oh.
Gross, man.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. But afterwards, you know, I kind of told people, you know, that guy, he doesn't wash his hands. And everybody was pretty freaked out about it. But so he shook about 50 people's hands and, like, you know, he didn't wash his hands. I thought you got a kick out of it.
Oh. Yeah, but the problem is, the dilemma is, he's the CEO. What are you going to do? You can't go up to him and go, hey, man, you need to wash your hands.
Or do a fist pump. Hey,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah. I was thinking about doing the fist pump, but I'd have offended him, you know? So,
you know what you should have done in front? Yeah, in front of the whole group, you should have stepped up to the mic as he handed the award and said, tension. I just want everybody to know that our CEO does not wash his hands. He's got poop on his hands right now, or poop residual material, and I just thought everybody should know that. Thank you so much. And the next morning, you'll be looking for another job. But, now, once you see that, that's all you can think about when you watch that person, or if they touch you or hand you anything. Hey, thanks for being patient. Thanks for calling, and call anytime, okay?
Hi,
Brian. All right, look at this. Jerry in here. Jerry, welcome to 590. What can we do for you?
Yeah, Frank, I have a challenge for you. I have a problem solver's challenge for you.
Oh, problem solver.
Hold on. If it's a problem solver's challenge, then it's for the problem solvers, and you got the right people because we are
the problem solvers.
All right, Jerry, what's the problem?
I would really love to know the answer to this. Anybody out there like me that suffers from heartburn? I have heartburn often. I like eating spicy foods, and I kind of do it to myself. But I've tried all the antacids and everything in the world for heartburn, and the absolute best solution is a chewing gum called Eclipse.
Eclipse. I've had Eclipse before. It's just little chiclet pieces of gum, little squares.
There's a flavor of Eclipse gum called Polar Ice. Polar like ice cap, polar.
I've had it.
Polar Ice. Frank, the next time you have heartburn, I promise you, instead of an antacid, even a prescribed antacid, just chew some Polar Ice Eclipse gum. You're going to be amazed at how it cools and soothes, and it feels like it's ice cream going down. It just instantly solves my heartburn. And my question for the problem solvers is, why is that? What's in that gum that works so instantly and so effectively.
Well, Jerry, it's the chemical makeup of the gum that goes down.
It's hexachlorophyllin. Hexachlorophyllin.
Yeah, that's it.
Hexachlorophyllin in combination with trexidine, and those two, when mixed together, create a tremendous firewall, if you would, to that acid issue.
And coat your esophagus going down in the entire,
There you go.
There you go. You thought we would know the answer, but we did.
And if that doesn't work, just put yourself to sleep.
I was actually going to give Jerry some pretty good advice, because I get stomach acid and heartburn pretty severely every now and again. Mm-hmm. And I do a shot of apple cider vinegar, and that it tastes disgusting, but it works really, really well.
Here's why I believe that. Jerry, we used to work with somebody, and I don't know if Dan remembers this or not, but he had acid reflux, had heartburn, all that stuff.
The apples.
He said, an apple, eat an apple. He said, honest to goodness, he would eat an apple, and in just a few minutes, the stuff is gone. Yeah. So the apple cider thing makes sense, because I knew about the other thing, the apple.
So try
that one time.
I'm reading a piece on the New York Times website right now, and a real quick 10-second explanation as to why gum works. It says, chewing on a piece or two of gum helps force fluids back into the stomach and flood the esophagus with alkaline saliva, which neutralizes the acids that cause the characteristic burning sensations.
Okay, but Jerry, is it just this gum, or is it any gum?
No, I've tried different gums, and it might be different flavors, but it is Eclipse gum.
Hmm.
I've tried the others, and I encourage any of you to give it a shot next time you want to test it, because if it works for anybody else like it works for me, it's incredible, and it's a whole lot cheaper.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. And what I'd like for everybody to do who's listening is tonight, try your best to give yourself heartburn.
Mm-hmm.
So you can test this out. Go get some Eclipse, and then run by like a Mexican restaurant. Well, then drink a bunch of alcohol, eat some spicy tacos or something, give yourself heartburn, and see if Jerry's cure here works for you.
And I want to say this disclaimer, Eclipse Gum is owned by the Wrigley Company, and they own the Cubs, for God's sake. So, if you're gonna go ahead and be, anti-Cardinal and chew your Eclipse Gum, Jerry, you go right ahead.
Wow.
Jerry, I guarantee right now there are a considerable number of people who struggle with this heartburn thing who are headed to get Eclipse Gum, and they're going to thank you for this. So,
thank you for the...
All right, I'm sure they will. Thank you, Jerry.
What was the flavor? Polar ice. Polar ice.
Polar ice.
Okay.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right. Sorry.
There goes Jerry.
Now it's time for this.
We've done it again.
Now you should have that in there. You should have the singer singing it. Don't you have that?
No, I don't. We went through this.
It's in there. We need to re-record it. We have to record it ourselves. All right. Time to do a little business. Time to do a little Johnny Londoff business. I hope Johnny Londoff right now is shaking hands with somebody who just said, we'll take it. It could be a Silverado, it could be a Chevy Equinox, it doesn't matter. We'll take it. They hear that a lot. We'll take it. And it's not just because of the products, the Chevy. Chevy's a fine car, but there are a lot of fine cars. I don't think Johnny likes it when I say that, but it's true. I'm not going to pretend that every other car is terrible and only Chevy is a good. That's ridiculous. But you'd be hard-pressed to find a vehicle that's better for the money than something comparable offered by Chevrolet. You know, if you're looking in the $25,000 to $30,000 price range, okay, they have that. You're looking from the $50,000 to $60,000, they have that. You load up a Silverado, I'll tell you, a Suburban rather. You load up a Chevy Suburban, but everything you can get on it, you're bumping $80,000. I mean, you can put some stuff on there. You can also get in one for a whole lot less than that. The point is, you got to know where to get into that Chevy, where to go to get behind the wheel, where to go to get something pre-owned, and that where to go is Johnny Londahl Chevrolet. Washington, Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 in North County, where they've been for, well, since 1960, and I always have to stop and go, 58 years. Same location. Daddy started it, Junior took it over, but don't you ever call him Junior. Man, is he not like that. When you go in there, do not say, is Junior here? Whoo, don't. John, or Johnny, or Mr. Londahl, or anything, but don't do that. He is John Londahl Jr. He's proud of that. He just doesn't want his name shortened to that, and I don't blame him. It's kind of like some people don't want to be called Johnny when their name is John. And I never understood this. I'll bet nobody ever calls him Jack Londahl, but they used to call Kennedy Jack Kennedy. Now, what is the point of that nickname? It's the same number of letters. J-O-H-N-J-A-C-K. Who decided that Jack was a nickname for John, and why? I get Bob, okay, Robert, save a syllable. Three letters instead of, six letters. Richard, Dick. I think I'd go with Richard, if my name is, you know, because that Dick, that actually means something else. Did you guys know that?
No.
That, yeah.
I believe
yeah,
it refers Dick. To male genitalia.
What?
Yeah.
What? Are you kidding? Not. Are you serious?
What? First to a private investigator.
I've never heard that.
Wow.
Never heard that. I'm going to have to look into that. But Jack, for John, nah, not Jack Londahl. John Londahl. And here's our pitch. Here's our request. And it's simple. It's a simple one. If you are looking for a new car, even if your new car is a pre-owned car, or if you will be anytime soon, and I think this is a fair request, just include Johnny Londahl. We didn't say don't go anywhere else. I hear those commercials. Don't shop anywhere else. That's ridiculous. Shop wherever you want to. In fact, the more you shop other places, I think the more you'll appreciate the way you're treated at Johnny Londahl. Johnny Londahl Chevrolet, big supporter of the show, been on board now for 14 years. The best way you can thank them is to just flat out go, hey, thank you for supporting the large morning show in the afternoon. An even better way, give them a shot at your business. I said shot. Give them a chance. If they don't win you over, then they need to change something. I don't think that's going to be a problem. Johnny Londahl Chevrolet, the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 27, or as they say, 24/7 at Londahl.com.
Here's a check on traffic now with Tory Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by Audible. An accident eastbound 70 at Forest still really stacking up traffic. The earlier debris cleared eastbound 70 at Hanley. You've got road work in the right lane southbound 141 north of 44 and a construction jam northbound 255 at Route 157. Audible audiobooks make summer an even better time to get outside. Use the app and dive into mysteries, bestsellers, motivation, and more, all while enjoying the great outdoors. Start a 30-day trial and your first one's free. Go to audible.com. I'm Tory Lyons, reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Do you love local craft beer? If so, you'll enjoy Kirkwood Brewhouse, where they offer 26 beers on tap and beer-themed menu items as well. Located in Green Tree Plaza off Manchester and next to our studios, Kirkwood Brewhouse is the perfect hangout for any sports fans or lemming.
I know a lot about Sharp City.
And it's great.
Whether you're looking to fillet up a Dover sole or slice into your favorite cattleman's cut, the folks over at Bertarelli Cutlery know all the ins and outs about how to get your kitchen knives as sharp as the Dickens. Family owned and operated for over 50 years, Bertarelli Cutlery offers St. Louis's finest knife sharpening services, as well as having all the gadgets and gizmos for your kitchen needs. So head on down to Bertarelli Cutlery on the Hill, visit them on Facebook or online at BertarelliCutlery.com.
There are so many good restaurants, but don't you want great?
Spiro's in Chesterfield is better than good, and it's all in the dining experience. Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the menu and portions are designed for a communal dining experience. The restaurant is beautiful and makes you feel like you're sitting right on the Mediterranean. So sample some classic dishes with friends. Go online and check out the Chesterfield menu. The hardest part is trying to figure out what to order, since there are so many great dishes. Spiro's only uses grade A prime New York strips and the best filet mignon that melts in your mouth. Or maybe you fancy fresh fish flown in just for you. Regardless, Spiro's has it. Add in a full-service bar, massive wine list, and their famous salad, and you have a dining experience you can't pass up. Of course that sounds great. They cater any size get-together, or they can host your private party. Check it all out at spiros-restaurants.com.
On Saturday, May 5th, come post up at your favorite spot in town, the Post Sports Bar and Grill, for their open bar Kentucky Derby party. The party runs from 4 to 7 p.m. at both Post locations. Enjoy an open bar with domestic beers and wells, a Cinco de Mayo Mexican buffet, and enter the free Vegas vacation raffle at both locations. You can purchase these tickets for only $30 by going to mypostup.com/events. Use promo code Plowboy and save 15% off. That's May 5th, the Kentucky Derby party at the Post.
Hit. 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 Get a hot tub.
Hit. Listening to 590 The Fan and the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. I got an interesting email, and I'm gonna read it to you. It says, "Hi Frank, I used to listen to you at the other station. I live in Colorado, and I listen online. I had no idea that your wife is blind. I'm blind myself, and I really find it interesting when I hear that other people are blind. I used to listen to Reggie McDaniel on the show. I used to love his show on KOA Radio in Colorado, and I really thought he did a great job with the movie reviews. How did you get your start with KFNS Radio? I'm blind. I find it very interesting to find out how my favorite hosts get their starts in radio. Thank you for any help you can give me. Sincerely, Jeremy." And Jeremy's in Colorado. Now, what I find interesting here is, one, he thinks my wife is blind, and two, he wants to know how I got my start. The way he put it, how'd you get your start with KFNS? So I wrote him back, and I said, "Jeremy, my wife's not blind. I'm not sure how you got that idea. And I didn't get my start." He says, "How'd you get your start with KFNS?" I say, "I'm going to start with KFNS because I quit another job and immediately had an offer from KFNS. And then he says about how'd you get your start in radio, and I basically wrote him back and said, that would take longer. An email would take forever to write about how I actually got in radio. But do you guys have any idea why he thinks my wife is blind?
No.
He saw your picture?
Yeah. But he's blind.
Oh, you know what?
He's blind. That's why.
That's funny. That's actually very funny. No, I like that. He saw my picture and figured she must be blind. No, it puzzled me, and then I came up with it. I figured it out, and I'm going to save it probably for the Playhouse. I will tell you why, and it's understandable, but it's not understandable why he thought my wife was blind. It took me a while, and then I realized what I had done that caused him to think she was blind. But when you hear the rest of the story, as Paul Harris used to say,
Paul Harvey would say that.
Then you'll be as confused still as I am. Jeremy, thank you. I hope you're listening, and I've said many times I have a fascination, a curiosity, a respect, a tremendous level of gratitude that I'm not blind, because I've had so much junk done to my eyes. I think about it a lot. You know, what if I went blind at this point in my life? I think it'd be very tough. Tougher than being born blind, or tougher than going blind when you're young. Well, thanks for listening to us in Colorado. And later I'll tell you why he was pretty sure my wife was blind. Steve is on the phone. He's late to the party, at least this hour of callers, but we don't care. We'll take him anyway. Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan. What can we do for you?
Well, thank you very much, Frank, and I won't take too much of your time. But I did
take as long as you need.
Since you have the problem solvers all revved up and ready to go,
Oh, we don't just have them. Exactly. No, Steve, we don't just have them ready to go. We are
the problem solvers.
What do you got, Steve?
Okay, my problem is I need to know exactly what is a gagget. G-A-G-G-E-T. Gagget. There's a radio commercial currently on that talks about coming in to see all of our gaggets and gidgets.
Oh, so gaggets.
Gagget?
They said gaggets and gidgets?
Steve,
did you email me about this?
No, I did not.
Okay, somebody did yesterday about this exact same thing. And this other listener and Steve maintained that in the Bertarelli cutlery commercial, am I right, Steve? That's where it is?
You are correct.
I think that's Doug Vaughn's voice, and he says gagget instead of gadget. Now, I'd have to listen to it again. I didn't notice it.
Gaggets and gidgets.
Listen closely, gaggets, Frank. I know how people who pronounce words incorrectly kind of get on your bad side. So listen.
Well, they spend a lot of money here, and I don't mind giving them a free commercial. Limey, can you grab the Bertarelli, the one that goes, and it's great.
Is that the one?
Can you find that?
All right, here we go. You want me to
listen? Steve, we'll listen together for gag.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I know a lot about Sharp City.
And it's great.
Whether you're looking to fillet up a Dover sole or slice into your favorite cattleman's cut, the folks over at Bertarelli Cutlery know all the ins and outs about how to get your kitchen knives as sharp as the dickens. Family owned and operated for over 50 years, Bertarelli Cutlery offers St. Louis's finest knife sharpening services, as well as having all the gadgets and gizmos for your kitchen needs.
Oh, he said gadgets.
Visit them on Facebook
or
online.
No.
Yeah, he did.
There was
a D in there. It was a soft D, but he did say gadgets.
He did say gadgets.
It's like he threw the D in there at the last meeting. He said gadgets.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because it's been planted in my brain now, but yeah, I thought I heard gaggets. But I never noticed it before, so...
Yeah, as you're listening to the commercial, if you just kind of are gently listening, I'll say, when you're not paying really close attention, it comes through as gagging.
Oh, I can see that.
It scared me when he said he might have said that, because Doug Vaughn is... he's a professional broadcaster and is on television. Those people don't make mistakes. Oh, yeah, he's on 11.2, I think.
Oh,
they don't make mistakes. Well, Steve, the mystery is solved. He actually did say gadgets, but once you said that, honestly, I thought I heard it then as gaggets, but majority rules, they say it's gadget. So he got
okay,
it right.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, Steve.
We've done it again.
This audience pays attention. I mean, they really pay attention. Yeah, I can't wait to tell you about why this guy thought my wife was blind. David Copperfield is being sued. Have you been following?
I saw that story. Yeah,
oh.
It's really interesting to me because as part of the court proceedings, they're making him share with the jury. I guess it's a jury, or maybe a trial by judge. I think it's a jury. The secret to this trick, because some guy from, sorry Limey, Britain has decided that he hurt himself being a participant in a trick. It's one of the audience members that he got hurt, and now he wants a bunch of money from David Copperfield. Yeah. So he's having to, in court, reveal the trick. This is a first. I can't think of any time any magician has ever... I guess it's happened, but not on a level where somebody was as famous. Wasn't he... Was he married to Claudia Schiffer? Was he the one?
Was he?
I don't know.
Whatever happened to her?
Hmm.
You never hear of her anymore.
No.
Okay,
she's kind of faded away.
And I kind of put him in the same category of smoking hot as that Kim Basinger.
Absolutely.
Her? Also, and if you want to see her at her best, get the movie L.A. Confidential. You'll see a young Russell Crowe at his finest. What a performance. And Kim Basinger and a bunch of other people I don't even remember. It's a pretty good, impressive cast, but and a great movie. L.A. Confidential. Terrific. A little long, but a good movie.
Claudia Schiffer got into the restaurant business, and she...
He was married to her for 5 years.
She created just a brain sandwich store.
Here it comes. Here it comes. Go ahead.
Claudia Brains.
See... No, no, I'm not going to. It doesn't even deserve
you
it.
You think I was going to go Schiffer?
No. No, I didn't. No. I didn't think that at all. Schiffer Brains.
Did you get that one, Limey? I have no idea.
Was Schiffer Brains.
Schiffer Brains?
Claudia Schiffer. Schiffer Brains.
Easy livestock. Easy, you're going to get taken off the air.
I have just enough time to discuss. Let's discuss window world, shall we? Let's discuss the world's best-selling replacement window. Well, at least in the United States, it's the best-selling replacement window. And how they're putting on this incredible trivia night that they do every year. It's May 19th. It's the Moolah Shriners Ballroom on Fifi Road. Folks, this is so much fun, and we have a table. It's a VIP table, so in addition to the beer and the soda and the water they provide, it's a bunch of other great food, because we have a VIP table, and we need a couple of couples to sit at our table. We need some money, and all you're doing is giving money, all of it, to St. Jude Children's Hospital, so please give this some thought. You can email me if you have any questions at frankopinion@yahoo.com. In the meantime, those of you whose homes have decided, I've had it with these windows that were put in me when I was built, they're done, they're toast, I need new windows.